It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am back and I am joined as always by Gemma Kaneko.
Welcome.
Hey, thank you.
How was your trip?
It was really lovely. And wouldn't you know it, while I was in Los Angeles, I spoke to Cut 4's senior Los Angeles bureau chief, Michael Clare, who we have on the phone. Michael, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Dakota, thank you for coming to L.A. and sharing in this beautiful city. L.A. also shares the first two letters in LaCroix, so there's just a lot of great things happening right now.
Great, Clay. I'm glad that you got your mention of LaCroix. And while we're throwing out things that we love, obviously this weekend was the first weekend of the Premier League season. That's English soccer, for those of you who care. And Claire and I, our beloved Liverpool won. Gemma, how did your beloved Tottenham Hotspur do?
Well, we drew, which, yeah. You know, obviously yeah. There was a worse outcome that could have happened, and
that's
it didn't.
True. Yeah, so there are ties,
you know,
in soccer.
And we drew, and I ate some crumpets Benedict while watching that.
Well, there you go. That was very English.
Very English.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, my beloved New York Red Bulls won their match in MLS. A lot of soccer news happened this weekend. thought you all might want to
hear. That's why you guys tune in, right?
News, Hartlepool United scored 2 goals in a 2-minute span to come back to beat Exeter City.
Look at that.
Why everyone's tuning in.
Yeah, I know everybody listens to this this baseball MLB.com podcast to catch up on soccer news.
They definitely
so I'm glad
do.
That we were able to give you that.
So that's the soccer update, just for those of you who are interested. Continuing on the other sports updates here, this one I do think deserves a mention. Mm-hmm. At the top of the Cut Forecast, you all know that we love Yasiel Puig, Dodgers mm-hmm. outfielder. Wouldn't you know it, he is no longer the top Puig in professional sports. Monica Puig, tennis player, won a gold medal in the Olympics. She's the first Puerto Rican to win a gold medal mm-hmm. ever, which is awesome for her. And our Yasiel Puig is super happy for her. He was sharing his excitement on social media for his fellow Puig.
I highly encourage you all to, if you're not already following Yasiel Puig on Instagram, to follow him.
Yeah,
instantly.
If you aren't following him on Instagram or Twitter, or why are you listening to this
Honestly.
Podcast?
But on Instagram, he pointed out that she does a racket flip, which
she
is
does.
Great.
It's true.
It's very Puig, very on Puig brand.
Yeah, the Puigs, they got to stick together.
Yeah.
So shout out.
Viva Puig.
Hashtag Viva Puig.
Hashtag Puig, your gold medalist.
Indeed. shout out to you, Monica Puig. And obviously, always shout out to Yasiel Puig. That's just sort of understood at the end of every one of my sentences.
The Puig forecast.
The Puig forecast. But thank you, Olympics, for giving us Puig greatness. Let us move on, though. We got so much to get to. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about Alex Rodriguez, his last game as a member of the Yankees. We're going to talk also some more Yankees about Mariano Rivera's Monument Park. And then we have an interview coming up at the end of the show with Stacy Ramkissoon, a cook in Citi Field, in one of the restaurants there, which is really exciting. But before we get to all of that, we had some breaking news over the weekend. This is maybe the most important story to come out of baseball all weekend.
Okay, you said out of baseball. I got a little nervous that this is going to be about Star Wars. So.
No. This is we're into the baseball portion of the Cup Forecast.
Okay, good.
98 degrees was at the Red Sox game on Sunday.
Yes.
98 degrees, famed boy band of the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Who was in 98 Degrees?
Nick Lachey. I have no idea who else is in that band.
He's got a brother, Drew Lachey, or there's a Drew also in there.
Sure, that sounds right.
Why
Drew,
not?
The Lacheys, they were there. fun fact, the guy who cut my hair in high school looked exactly like Nick Lachey. So.
that's an okay fact.
It's a fun fact.
I don't
fact.
Even think that's a fact. A guy
that
cut your
okay.
hair in high school. I don't even know. That's not a story. That's not an anecdote. It's certainly not a fact.
I think Claire's right. It's not a fact because we can't confirm it.
Yeah, you can.
Just your
I just
opinion
told you. You've
that
trust
he
me.
Looked like him.
You have unimpeached trust in me. And I'm
if you that. Cut Dakota's hair in high school, please call in and FaceTime us so we can determine.
He does. I'm telling you. okay, but the upshot here is that famed 90s boy band 98 Degrees was at the Red Sox game. And it got us wondering, which is dangerous.
Always.
Which Major League Baseball players would make the best boy band. Claire, we shall start with you, as you're in Los Angeles, which I believe is the genesis of all boy bands, whether or not that's true.
Actually, you don't need to look Orlando. That up. Everyone should know it's Orlando. That's where they come from. But it's weird timing that we're doing this, because last night while I was in line for ice cream at Salt and Straw, who was sitting right behind me at a little table eating his ice cream? J.C. Chazé.
No way!
Backstreet Boys?
NSYNC. He was in NSYNC, right?
He was NSYNC, yeah. So J.C. Chazé had a little, like, fedora, had, like, a straw fedora on, expertly, like, distressed, light-colored jeans. Maybe he was on a date, but I didn't say anything. but, yeah, so perfect timing. And this one, this band, it's going to blow up. Everyone's going to love it, all right? You guys ready? I've got a five-piece, okay?
All right, what do you got?
All right, our super hot frontman, Chris Bryant. He's got the bluest of blue eyes.
Okay. Totally the Aaron Carter of MLB.
He's the dreamy one.
The bad boy, who's going to do his hair flips. He's going to, you know, give those smoldering eyes to the camera. Bryce Harper.
Oh, okay.
Our the one everybody loves, every mom loves, Andrew McCutcheon. Given that his mom sings the national anthem, like, you know he's got that crooning ability. Our weird facial hair guy is Tyler Saladino. Right now, he's got a little mustache that sometimes I think it's applied with spirit gum.
It probably is.
And then our final guy, it's the romantic guy. It's the one everyone falls in love with. It's Joey Fatone. We've got Francisco Cervelli.
Oh, okay.
Aw, that's kind of nice.
He's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
like my
that.
Boy band. I don't have a name for him. I didn't think of a name, which I now regret.
Yeah, I didn't think of a name.
Oh, I didn't think of a name.
Either.
Yeah.
We're all terrible.
We should not manage boy bands.
No.
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 But
I think
like
your boy band would be called That's Amore after Francisco
Cervelli.
That's Amore.
It could just be called All Star, because, I mean, that's an all star lineup.
But that could confuse people, because they'd be like, is this a Smash Mouth project? Like, I don't
yeah,
know.
It is. They only sing Smash Mouth songs.
They're a Smash Mouth cover band.
Yeah, they're a Smash Mouth cover boy band. That's where music has trended in the last 20 years. I like that group.
No, I'm into it.
Claire, whose poster would you have?
I gotta go Francisco Cervelli. If he's in his like robe with the rose that he wears for the Beth Amore dating advice, it's gotta be Cervelli all the way.
All right, that's good.
I'd watch him in a Broadway musical like 20 years after the boy band folded, you know? That'd be nice.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
That appears to be the career trajectory of
I just aged all those guys
bands.
Way up 20 years.
Well, oh, okay, well, no, here's a question. Which one is the Justin Timberlake of this boy band? Who's like the breakout star who's going to have the great solo career and crossover appeal?
I think it's Chris Bryant. He's the hot front guy, yeah.
See, my money's on Kutch, because Kutch, as we know, is multi-talented. Mm-hmm. He can move into filmmaking
right.
while still performing. That seems like the kind of the natural pick to me.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. In a way, he's already, like, wasn't it like Nick Carter or didn't he also do acting and all that?
Yeah, but like,
all kinda
what movies has Nick Carter been in that you can name right now?
Wasn't he in a movie with Justin Timberlake, or am I making
I have no idea.
I'm probably making that up. Okay, another fun fact, I met Nick Carter.
I met Les Bass.
No, I met Aaron Carter. Less fun. Okay, Gemma, who is your baseball boy band?
Well, I feel like Chris Bryant is just in all of our boy bands, because very clearly he's just the dreamboat of MLB. Mm-hmm. He's just, you know, swoon-worthy dude. He's definitely in the band, right? He, however, is also not the JT of my band.
Okay.
I think that the JT of my band is Mookie Betts.
Oh.
Interesting. Yeah. He's like a little bit understated right now in terms of personality, but as soon as the band picks up steam, it's going to become very clear that he's the one that can do anything. He has so many talents and so much ambition. He's already a bowler. He's already got this side thing
true.
Going on. He can solve a Rubik's Cube. I can't do that. Like, obviously, he has a lot of other interests that once the boy band has been phased out, he will know what to do with his time. So he's my JT. You know how there's always a guy who's clearly like 10 years older than everyone else in the band and already had kids?
Yeah.
David Ross.
Okay.
The dad of the boy band.
Okay.
Cowboy hat wearer, just generally adventurous, Marcus Stroman.
Oh, okay.
He's probably got the rap verse in the song because he already does that. He does raps with Duke rappers and is recording his own music already.
He definitely seems like the one most likely to be like a performer of some kind.
Yes. Yeah. He's probably like, just the most adventurous fashion choices.
Yeah.
Everything
he's got
about him.
Hair. He's already got some cool hair going.
Mm-hmm. True. He already has like, we're going to throw Chase Darnot in there. Because he already has a band. He's the one who joined the boy band because he wanted his own like solo career to take off. And then he just releases like 18 country albums after the band ends.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That's the crew?
That's the crew.
And they don't have a name either.
No, I didn't think of a name.
Okay. Well, those are solid choices. I think you all failed, though, at sort of the one important thing about this, which is that they need to have chemistry. And so I began my process by saying, who do we know has chemistry? The first place I looked, the Mets pitching staff, right? They obvious chemistry.
This is a good choice.
Right? Noah Syndergaard, Jacob deGrom. These guys, they kind of fit the personality archetypes. Uh-huh. You have Bartolo there. That makes sense.
Be a dad. Every boy band needs a dad.
But I thought it's overdone, right? Uh-huh. So then I thought, well, what about like the Indians infield? More chemistry there. You have Kipnis, Lindor, Mike Napoli. Yeah. So like that
seems totally
fun.
Have Lindor's poster.
Right, Lindor.
Yeah.
But then I thought, you know what? No, it's staring us in the face. Exactly which platoon of people deserves to be a boy band.
Wait, Claire, can you guess what Dakota's going to say right now?
Not only is it staring us in the face, it was staring 98 degrees in the face when they were at the Red Sox game. I am talking, of course, about the Boston Red Sox outfield, which you can't shake your head at me because you chose Mookie Betts.
I like Mookie
for your
a lot.
Boy band.
Yeah.
So Mookie Betts, obviously, is the quiet one, I think, sort of the reserved, shy one who everybody loves. They want to get inside his head, but they can't because he keeps that distance. You have JBJ, who is the smooth one. We know that he is a smooth outfielder, and he is clearly a smooth performer as well. You have the young one, the little baby face, Andrew Benintendi, whose name I can never pronounce.
He's got good hair, too. You need
He's
that.
He's got good hair. Mm-hmm. And then we have a couple other kind of like tertiary members of the Red Sox outfield boy band. You have Brock Holt, who's kind of like the jock of the group. You always need a jock in the
you
boy
do
band.
Always need someone who's clearly going to spin off into a complete different genre of music, like Brian from the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty sure he made like 3 Christian albums
after that. And then you need kind of comic relief, who is an honorary member, maybe not a full member, Hanley Ramirez, who did in fact play the outfield at Fenway Park before, so he knows what it's like to be in the Red Sox outfield. Tell me where I went wrong. I don't think there's a weak spot in this lineup.
So what's the name of the band? You have to be able to come up with one since they're already on a team. Like
that's true.
You know,
I do.
How really great teams have collective nicknames.
What about
Hot Sox?
That's terrible.
No, that's great. That's what they're called now, Hot Sox.
What about?
It's over.
User friendly. User spelled UZR like Ultimate Zone Rating.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's really good.
How's that for you? Because they're all great at playing the outfield. Well, maybe not Hanley Ramirez.
Mostly.
The rest of them are great at playing the outfield.
No, that's good. I really like that. I would buy that poster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. I win, as always.
You did a good job, but it hurts me to say that.
I'm mostly just frightened at how much boy band knowledge the Cut Four staff has. Gemma, you know the side projects for all these guys, and then Mono and Adrian Garo have like extensive like knowledge into like LFO and O-Town and BB Man, like the third tier.
That's true. The writing staff of Cut Four definitely.
I was a young tween girl in the 90s, so I do know a lot about boy bands.
Me too.
I did meet Lance Bass once, but I didn't recognize him, which is actually pretty embarrassing.
For who? For him, probably.
Yeah, for him. It was part of like a bit, like you know those like on the street bits.
Oh yeah.
And I was in college, and I was walking around, and this dude with like crazy hair started talking to me. He was like, "Hey, do you know where I can get a haircut?" And I actually did. There was a barbershop kind of close by, so I was like, "Oh yeah, it's really cheap. Just go down the stairs and blah blah blah." He was like, "Yeah, but like Like, where could someone like me get a haircut? And he kept emphasizing me and pointing to his hair. And I didn't understand what was happening at all. And it was like a really bad wig in retrospect, like really long. And
was he looking for a barber that looked like Nick Lachey that happened to cut Dakota's hair in high school?
Yes, this all ties together.
Can I just say that Gemma, like, aggressively telling him where to get a haircut and answering his question, like, properly is the most Gemma thing.
It also did not make the bit, and I didn't realize till after. I was like, wow, so I was talking to Lance Bass, and he was probably like, this girl is of the correct age that she should know who I am, and I could not recognize him.
You did the New York thing, and you just gave him directions to the thing that he wanted.
Without processing his external appearance at all.
Yeah. Okay, let us move out of the nexus of boy bandom that we fell into, and let's move on here to something really I think that is important, which is that Alex Rodriguez has played his final game as a member of the New York Yankees. There's sort of rumors floating out in the ether that he may end up on the Miami Marlins. Who knows? But it's entirely possible his career is over. Either way, he had his final series at Fenway Park last week, which was emotional for everyone involved. Obviously, Red Sox fans have sort of quite the tumultuous relationship with Alex Rodriguez. He's had some big moments there. So it was obviously a really big thing for him to have his final series at Fenway Park. And he just couldn't leave without taking that photo, holding up the number 13, the hand-operated scoreboard sign while standing in the Green Monster in the doorway there. And it's a cool photo if you're a fan of baseball, of A-Rod, anything like that. You should go MLB.com/cut4. You can see it there. And I guess my question to you guys is that obviously A-Rod has wanted this photo for a while. Mm-hmm. What photo would you want? What do you think is like the one baseball photo that you have to have, Gemma? Why don't you let us know?
I mean, I would like to travel back in time and take my picture as an adult at Tiger Stadium.
Okay.
I think there's maybe one picture of me as a small youth at Tiger Stadium, but my friend's family would have those photos for when we went as like little kids. But And I'm so sad I don't have it. I would really like that.
Yeah.
Like I have a bunch of pictures, you know, with all the old signage and gates, but that's not the same. Mm-hmm. However, since that seems kind of impractical to travel back in time and take a picture there, I would like one of two photos. I realize since this question you can only have one, these are my two options. I would like either a GIF of me rising up out of the home run apple spot on the apple, like just sitting on it, like posing, and then slowly it rises up and there I am. Like
strange,
maybe holding sparklers.
But okay.
I don't know. I think that would be good.
When would you use that in your life if it was
all
a GIF?
The time. When would I not use it, Dakota?
When do you use GIFs in regular life?
Just like, we're all talking online all the time, always. Do you not text GIFs to your friends? It'd be like, Gemma, are you coming to dinner? And I would just text that GIF.
All
That's
right.
What it would be.
Okay, fair enough.
My second option is I would like my head and like my reaching out of the ivy at Wrigley.
Oh,
yes.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
That could be like a horror film.
Great. Cool. I have really long hair, like the girl from The Ring. I could make that work.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
that's
I'm not
good.
Going for people to be like comfortable and settled with any of these things.
Yeah, those are both really, like if you sent me either, those would be like, these are weird.
Good.
You're a weirdo.
Why would I want the same pictures that everyone else has?
No, I mean, that's true.
Those are my options.
All right, well, speaking of horror movies, let's talk to Michael Clare. Mr. Clare, what one baseball photo do you demand, would you need to have if you could only have one photo?
So I'm definitely on board with Gemma. I was going through many of the same ideas. And what I came up with, though, was I want a home run sculpture photo, but instead of being on the apple, I want to get a boomerang, the, like, two-second, like, endlessly looping, like, video thing of me riding the dolphin
yes.
from the Marlin sculpture, like, at the end of Dr. Strangelove when he's riding the bomb. That's yeah. what I want. It's
yes.
like me cresting the top.
Okay.
I'm so on board with that.
Yeah, I actually wrote that down.
I would use that gif all the time too.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think what's funny about the we're gonna take a little diversion here to talk about Marlins Park. I think we need to talk about it. That sculpture, I remember when it was announced that it was like coming out and it was gonna be the big Marlins thing, and it was briefly ridiculed on the internet. I think we can say that, but it has since become such an iconic thing that everyone loves just unabashedly. How cool is that? How great is it that it like went from it has done the full cycle and it is now just like a piece of beloved baseball architecture.
I think that's great.
The whole stadium is amazing.
I know.
There's art on the back side of it.
I know. Okay, so I'm going to finish at Marlins Park, but I want to take you through my process of brainstorming.
Of course.
So like the first thing I thought of is my dream obviously is kayaking in McCovey Cove. I've always wanted to do that. So a photo of me doing that, sort of like, that would be so fun to do, especially like maybe in this dream, or if you can go back in time to Tiger Stadium, I can go back in time and sit out there while Barry Bonds is crushing home runs into the Cove. Then I thought, apparently all of mine are aqua themed. A photo in the Chase Field pool. That could be fun.
That's good. No, that would
be fun. That's the most chill spot to watch a baseball game.
I really thought you were going to say, like, hanging out with the Rays in the Ray tank.
No, that's weird. I would not want to do that. Also, I'm pretty sure it's really cold in the Ray tank.
And also, Rays are scary.
Rays are really scary. Yeah. I thought, I don't want to be in water in this photo or whatever. So then I thought, the view beyond the outfield at Dodger Stadium. And then I thought, wait a minute. I already have that photo now.
Oh, you're the worst.
I've been out
you're
to Dodger Stadium. And so then I circled back to Marlins Park. And my first thought was the home run sculpture photo with that. But then it seemed first level. So then I thought, what about with that display of all the bobbleheads? And then that only seems second level. If I'm getting a once-in-a-lifetime photo, it needs to be something special. So what I would want it to be is me in the Clevelander, the nightclub in Marlins Park, and a photo of that while there's a Marlins game going on behind me. That is what I really want. Maybe catching a baseball in the Clevelander.
Wow.
That might be the dream.
Wow.
I'm obsessed with the Clevelander.
I can see.
It's the
Why
best.
Are you so obsessed with it?
There's a nightclub in a baseball stadium. It does not get more Miami than that. It's awesome.
Even better, though, and I didn't realize this until I was watching the Marlins broadcast yesterday, for Sunday day games, the Clevelander has a breakfast buffet.
It's perfect in every way.
That is actually quite
nice. It is perfect. The Marlins are perfect. They're so fun this year. Marlins Park is great. The Clevelander is great. That is where I want my photo.
All right. Frame it. Hang it up next to your Hot Sox poster.
Hot Sox. What is it? User-friendly?
User-friendly.
Next
user
to
user-friendly. Yeah. Their first album can be called Hot Sox.
Hot Sox. Nothing should be called Hot Sox. That is a terrible name. No offense to you, Mr. Clare.
No. Full offense taken, but it's rightful offense.
All right, well, here, let's move on to some more Yankee things that happened this weekend.
Let's.
Mariano Rivera got inducted into Monument Park, which is a big, obviously one of the biggest achievements that you can have as a member of the Yankees, as a player in baseball. And he got, like, a physical monument, which is really cool. Very fitting, obviously, for the best reliever ever. But here's my question to the two of you. He had this sort of once-in-a-generation career, and it's amazing, and he gets this monument. What is your legacy marker? Like, if you were a historically great baseball player, Claire, if you were, like, the greatest player of all time, Gemma, you were the first female baseball player and one of the greatest baseball players of all time, what would your marker, your legacy be? Would you want a retired number, a statue? Claire, why don't you go first? What would you want?
So I'm stuck on home run sculptures. I want, like, the rising apple in New York. If I was a home run hitter, it'll come up when it's home runs. If I was a closer, it'll come up when the closer comes out. It's just my giant smiling face that slowly rises out of the ground.
This is so creepy.
And as it does, red, like, fireworks shoot from my eyes. And that marks either a home run or, again, if I was a closer, the closer coming out. And it's just the widest smile a person can have, just like totally trolling the other team. It's, you know, it's done. It's over. Here comes the Mike Clare face rising from Hades itself to say game over.
Interesting. So only at the end of the game.
No, no. If there's a home run, basically it's just like, guess what? You just gave up a home run, 3-2, top of the fourth, game over. And I guess it would be bottom of the fourth because it would be at home. Unless we traveled with it, maybe it would be a traveling one too and it would rise out of the dugout.
Here's my question. Sometimes the stadium operator will accidentally press the feature button. Would you not feel a little bit of shame if that happened, seeing your massive head rising out of the outfield?
I think it would intimidate the other team. They would go, we're up 7-1. It's the top of the eighth. Why is his face rising? He must know something.
Well, that's deeply upsetting.
This is terrifying and super creepy, but I'm also 100% behind it.
You know, I'm sure we could probably get a minor league stadium to add this feature to their outfield. Gemma, what is your legacy marker for your historic and wonderful career?
Well, I didn't at first think of this as my career as a baseball player. I thought of it as my career as just a person who likes baseball. So I reframed a little bit, but I'm going to tell you what my first
impulse
was.
Yeah, I want to hear that.
And then, I'll tell you the second
wait,
thing.
I have to ask you your internal logic here. Is it just that the Tigers were like, she's such a great fan,
what's going on here. As I've mentioned several times on this podcast, I occasionally, my witchcraft powers are strong, which is to say, if I go to a Tigers game, the Tigers always win, and if I go to any New York team home game, the home team loses and it rains. That's just what happens. So I thought that the Tigers might over, you know, decades of a fan to be like, wow, you know, we did pick up a substantial number of wins thanks to Gemma's witchcraft powers. So
so then you must have one of the highest WAR of any Tigers player ever.
Terrible.
No, that's not a shot at the Tigers. That's saying that you have all these wins.
Yeah, well, you know, probably just like 3 or 4 additional wins. Okay. I'm not saying, I don't go to a lot of games now that I live in
New York.
You're
not even an all-star.
You know, though. But still, it would rack up over time and be like the supernatural influence. But this is the point, really, is that Comerica.
3 wins. We're not giving you a statue for
not
three
every
wins.
Year, not like just overall. Anyway, so Comerica Park likes rides. So this would be an excuse for them to add an additional ride.
Okay.
And it would be like the Peter Pan ride at Disney World, but instead you would fly around on a broom because I am a witch.
Okay.
Yes, that would be my legacy. But if I was a player, if I was the first female baseball player and I was also awesome, I would expect so many things. League-wide retired number, one.
Yeah.
That would have
precedent
to happen.
Precedent has been set there.
Whatever team I played for the longest, they would have to name at least one architectural feature after me.
Yeah.
I don't know what, since I always imagined myself as a closer, there would be something, they would have to, or I mean, I like catchers, but I'm way too short to ever be a catcher. They'd have to name something after me. If I was a big home run hitter, like whatever porch, it would be my porch.
Okay.
You know? Definitely, like, if it was Comerica, a statue with me riding the tiger at Comerica.
You're very demanding for the first female baseball player.
It'd have to be a lot of stuff, yeah.
All right. Well, that's interesting. obviously, sounds like somebody is not going to be the first
obviously,
female baseball
no,
player.
Oh, my God.
Teams can't afford it.
That also, I'm really bad at baseball.
That's secondary.
Washed out of that when I was, like, 7 years old. obviously, my greater thought-out idea was the witch ride.
The witch ride. That'd be great.
Yeah. What's your legacy, Dakota?
So the first thing I thought of, I'm very ordinary here. There is no theme park attraction that I've designed in my own honor. was just a retired number, which is super rare. Not a lot of people get their number retired. So like that's sort of baseline. That would be my dream. It's like I would love to have my number retired. There are fewer retired numbers in baseball than there are Hall of Famers in baseball, which is it's cool. I like the retired number. Failing that, I kind of thought what's one of the coolest things are like objects in the field of play that are named after people. So like like you think of Pesky's pole, think of Tal's Hill, that kind of stuff. So I would like something like that named after me, depending on what my skill was. So like if I was an awesome outfielder who made sweet outfield catches, then I would want a portion of the outfield wall to be like Gardner's Wall, or like if I was an awesome pitcher. And then I would like the mound to be named after me. Also, we're, David Ortiz just hit a two-run home run. We're taping this. We're taping this on Monday afternoon. The Red Sox play Indians. Just thought you may want to know that.
What if your only legacy moment was just having David Ortiz shake your hand one time? Would that be worth it? Like just a ceremony?
I would want it bronzed, like our handshake bronzed, and then I could put it on my mantle at home. But see, here's the thing though. This is so important. I'm talking about this while David Ortiz hits a two-run home run. Mm-hmm. Like that, I think that there's some good kind of like chemistry happening there. That's what I think.
Wait, like, are you saying that your legacy is
my legacy
tied
is David Ortiz? Yeah, exactly. Okay. We're basically the same guy. That's what I'm saying. But no, I feel like it, you know, depending on what you are, I think that'd be cool. So I'd like mm-hmm. some sort of portion of the stadium named after me because I like McCovey Cove.
That's yeah, that's cool.
Like all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. All right. Well. I think Gemma's is probably most expensive.
Certainly
the most grandiose.
Certainly.
So just on sheer sort of spectacle, you win that.
That's
argument,
I'm all about
that
creating spectacles. So
for sure. Now we're going to take a minute, and we are going to talk to Stacey Ramkissoon, who is a cook in the Delta Sky 360 Club at Citi Field. Let's take a listen.
Hi, I'm here with Stacey Ramkissoon. You're a cook at the Delta 360 Sky Club at Citi Field.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Cup Forecast. It's so exciting. Yes. So what I want to know first is, how did you decide that you wanted to have this job? Well, how did you get this job at Citi Field?
Well, it's funny. It was the Thanksgiving of 2011, mm-hmm. and my brother, who works at Citi Field, we were just having family Thanksgiving, and he asked me to chop up some garlic for him, and I did. And he was like, oh, man, you can really chop garlic. Do you want to work at Citi Field? I'm like, is that actually a thing? I didn't go to school. Can I just do that? He was like, absolutely. And that's how I did it. I started in 2012.
So the main application was just chopping garlic.
Yep, in front of the sous chef for the owners.
I see.
At the time.
Okay,
yes.
All right. So did you learn on the job? How
yes.
much did you, okay. Where did you start when you were working there?
I started in Delta Suites, there's the Chop House, which is an actual restaurant. Mm-hmm. And on that floor, we also have Shake Shack. And then there's an open marketplace, uh-huh. which is sort of like a concessions.
Right.
So that's where I started. I started on the salad station.
Okay.
They basically gave me a mezzaluna, which is like a three-blade half moon shape knife to chop salad, and uh-huh. that's basically I went from there and on to different stations and then into the kitchen prepping, and then I became a cook.
So what would you say is the main part of your job now?
It's prepping. Okay. I basically prep all the ingredients for any dishes the chef asked me to do.
What do you cook? You're not like hot dogs and fries.
No. I do chicken. Right now we're doing a pretzel, uh-huh. like a homemade pretzel uh-huh. with a beer cheese sauce.
Ooh.
So I've been doing that this season. Last year I was the pastry line cook. So I made homemade donuts with a cream anglaise dip and
oh.
yeah, that's actually, I read about a list of new foods and stadiums and the donuts.
The donuts made that list?
Yeah.
And you were responsible for those donuts?
At Citi Field.
That's pretty amazing.
yeah, yeah.
So we talk about this a lot on the Cup Forecast, actually. We have a segment called Meal or No Meal, where we try to decide whether we want to eat a new ballpark food or not. So what would you say is your favorite thing on the menu right now?
In all stadiums or?
In my stadium. That you might be responsible or have seen coming off of your line.
That's tough. Because there's Shake Shack, right?
In right.
So how do you choose from Shake Shack burgers? I've tried and I helped a little bit making the tomahawk steak mm-hmm. that happens in the Danny Meyer's Chop House.
Okay.
And I mean, it's one of the best pieces of meat I've ever eaten. So that would have to be my favorite. And right now we're doing a lobster salad, which that's what I make.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
So Cup Forecast listeners, you have to go check it out, see if it's meal or no meal. But you said you had a choice from all stadiums? You feel like there's something that stands out?
Well, I did some preparation for today. Because
oh.
I was curious when we talked previously that uh-huh. there were new stadium foods. And so I saw Minnesota has a chicken wing Bloody Mary.
Whoa.
So it's a Bloody Mary, and they have, like, I don't know if it's a buffalo wing. I'm assuming that's the flavor, but that is...
It's like floating in the Bloody Mary?
Yeah, like on the glass is like an umbrella.
So that is your, like, dream food to eat in a ballpark?
No, it's not. No, it was the most interesting that I saw on that list. To be all of it was very scary. That said, I would probably try all of it to see.
Well, that's very adventurous.
What would be my favorite?
Do you ever get to? Do you ever invent things on your own when you're cooking?
I think. What did we do? There was one time where we tried to, you know, like. So in the kitchen, sometimes you have minimal stuff to eat. Sometimes you have to eat on the go. Mm-hmm. So you kind of grab pieces of things in all sections. So I have done potato bun hot dog bread, and I've put like lettuce and like stuff from the salad bar, cucumbers, and I've used cheese and roasted peppers and sort of like just grabbed everything just to have some energy for the day.
That sounds good. You should serve that. I would eat that. I don't know about cucumbers on a hot dog.
Yeah.
Still, there are things about that sound appealing to me. So I assume that cooking at a baseball stadium is different than any kind of other culinary atmosphere. So what would you say is the most unique experience that you've had as a cook at Citi Field?
I guess it would have to be being in the stadium.
Yeah.
It's like very, because I've never worked in a private restaurant before with a private kitchen. I think it's like being in the stadium, you're around people who are extremely happy to be there. It's like being around fans, like hundreds of fans filtering in and out, just eating and hanging out. And it's just the atmosphere, I think, is the most, it's like the best part of this job compared to other restaurants where you are in the back of the house. Like, we're called back of the house for a reason because you don't see us. But with Citi Field and certain kitchens, it's like an open kitchen and, you know, the fans are filtering through. And some of our exciting parts, it's like when the Phillies are there. They're very, very, very loud fans. And they're not shy at all in, like, walking around. And it's exciting. It really is.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Do you ever have one-on-one experiences with fans, or not necessarily one-on-one, but interactions with fans or players or team staffers or anything?
I would have to say last year, the World Series, I guess I'm really shy, so interactions don't really happen, but sometimes you're in a situation where it's pretty interesting. So last year was the World Series, and the kitchen I was in, we catered for the media. So it was all the reporters sitting up there, and I was in the elevator with two reporters and a security guard talking to the reporters, and he asked them, like, who are you guys rooting for? And it was just these two guys. They were like, you could see on the face that they were not happy with that question, but one guy was just like, it really doesn't matter. It's just like, what's the better game? And that was, I thought it was fascinating to see that happen like behind closed doors, because I don't think they say that out, you know?
Right. I mean, especially since I feel like you probably get the partisan side more often than not.
Right.
You're going to have people who want the Mets to win coming
right.
in and out of your kitchen.
Exactly. Reporting.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
So, are you a Mets fan now, or do you have some other allegiance?
Baseball was really not my favorite sport. I think the closest connection I have with baseball is not like working for them for four seasons at this point. But the other experience is about age 13, I got a baseball card with Mike Piazza.
Oh.
And he was not hard to not look, you know, he's very easy on the eyes for a 13-year-old. I was like, oh, man. So I guess I was a Dodgers fan. I think in 93 he was in the Dodgers, and he didn't go to Mets until 97, 98, maybe later on.
But it was destiny all along.
Yeah, I think so.
Somehow, that baseball card still found you.
I was just not around baseball a lot, but... So,
Now the Mets, I guess, are your team?
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
I would definitely root.
Well, now I have to ask you the most important question that I will ever ask to an interviewing the Cup Forecast. Since you are an expert in all things baseball food related,
this is a debate that is just raging across the baseball universe, and it's so important, and really no one can really settle it acceptably. But I need to know from you, a culinary baseball expert, is a hot dog a sandwich?
Man. I would say no.
All right.
Yeah.
Why not?
I feel like a sandwich has so many parts to it, so mm-hmm. many. So you need your lettuce, your tomatoes. You can't really put that on a hot dog.
So, well, you put cucumbers on a hot dog, so I don't really know
a hot dog
if I can
bun,
trust you.
To be fair. Okay. No meat. It was a meatless sandwich. Yeah, I would say it would need a lot more condiments to be a sandwich.
Oh, that is the defining part of a sandwich for you.
Yes.
Okay. So like a hot dog with just the bun, that would still be a hot dog, but not a sandwich.
Yeah.
How much would you have to add? Like, is a Chicago-style hot dog a sandwich because it has, like, an entire grocery store on it?
Right. It has, what does it have? Is onions? Is that the one with chili on
it? That's Detroit. We have that in Detroit. There's like, many vegetables,
that's
relishes.
Meat on meat, though.
And I really swear there's, like, 1,000 plants on top of a Chicago hot dog.
Yeah, I would still say no. I feel like a sandwich is... It's also cold is another thing I would say.
Okay.
Condiments cold. Hot dog is, I feel like it's not, I wouldn't make it a sandwich.
All right. All right, Cut Forecast. You heard it here. From an actual baseball cook, a hot dog is not a sandwich. That's it. Debate over. It's ended. All right. One last question.
Sure.
What is your favorite story from your time, from your four seasons at the Mets?
I would say my first season, I started on the salad station and, you know, being front and center, it was like very nerve wracking, but also, one of my orders I got was a salad for Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. And they basically, the chef came up to me and he handed me a ticket and I'm pretty sure it just had like two restrictions. Like, I want to say, like, red onions, no red onions, and tomatoes. I don't remember. It's been so long, but I just remember being like, oh, my goodness, I'm making a salad for Jerry Seinfeld. And I think that was my favorite experience. I think within that same game, Chris Rock bought a pizza, but I didn't, you know.
Whoa.
He came out of his suite and walked around, and so that was really, really cool.
You didn't hide your screenplay in the salad or anything?
No. Imagine.
I would have picked it up. I'm like, all right.
Hot dog is not a sandwich, Chris Rock. Screenplay.
I would watch that movie. Well, Stacey, thank you so much for joining
for
us today.
Me.
It was delightful. Please come back if you feel like it.
Yes. Thank
Bring
you.
Mr. Matt to
oh,
talk,
man,
about, talk about his culinary food preferences.
Jenna, thank you for having Stacey on, talking to her. That was really good.
It was great. Yeah. Some definitive answers about what is or is not a sandwich.
It's true. So finally, we have like a real chef weighing in.
Yes.
Weighing in on that important question. Guys, it is time.
Oh, no.
To sum up the podcast in 140 characters. One tweet that accurately and adequately condenses the podcast down into one bite-sized chunk. Michael, Claire, why don't you go first?
Dot at Gemma Kaneko's final wish would bankrupt all of the nations of the world. # riding a tiger at Tiger Stadium. # at Cut Forecast.
Interesting use of hashtags.
That is rude to call me out. Additionally, there is no way that I would bankrupt all the nations of the world when basically every other athletic endeavor has not so far done that.
No, because you're going to use up so many natural resources.
That's
I didn't
true.
Say I wanted the statue to be made of diamonds and coal and, like, uranium.
It's a statue made out of enriched uranium.
It can be made of cement. Yeah. I don't care.
That's good.
You can make it out of, I don't know, discarded children's drawings. It doesn't matter to me.
That's sad. Gemma, why don't you let us know your 140 character tweet?
I want to reply to Claire's tweet.
Well, you can't.
But I'm not going reply. To because I am going to be the bigger person in this situation.
Okay,
here's my tweet.
the only at MLB photo that you'll ever need, colon, riding Gemma's witch ride with user friendly.
Oh, that's good. I'm going to top it, though. Here we go.
No.
Here's my tweet. Hashtag user friendly's first album cover, colon, a photo kayaking in McCovey Cove in front of a statue of Dakota Gardner. Hashtag cut forecast.
That fell apart at the end.
It did fall apart at the end.
I think mine was the best.
It started well. I had a good start. I had a hot start. If you have a better tweet that more accurately summarizes our podcast into 140 characters, please tweet it at us at cut4 with the hashtag cut4cast. We'll retweet the best ones. We'll like the slightly less good ones. And Gemma will angrily reply to the ones that she doesn't think are very good. Or if they take shots at her statue, she'll do that as well. If you go to mlb.com/cut4, you can read all of the articles we were talking about here today. You can read many, many, many more about all of the happenings in baseball, both on and off the field, written by the lovely and talented Michael Clare and the organized and professional Gemma Kaneko. You can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/cut4. You can follow us on Twitter, @cut4, and this is a podcast, which means you can access this podcast wherever podcasts are sold. You know that you're listening to it. But hey, did you also know that if you go to iTunes and write a review and leave us a rating, 1 to 5 stars, we will read it on this Cut4 cast? That is a Dakota Gardner guarantee. So please, if you find yourself in the iTunes neighborhood, take a minute to jot down your thoughts and we will read them here. Michael, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. Just hearing you say the phrase user-friendly as UZR made my day.
Well, good. I'm glad. Gemma, thank you for letting me come back onto the podcast.
You're lucky.
I know. I was afraid you were going to mount some sort of overthrowing of me.
Never, never.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Thank you very much. But mostly, thank you for listening, and we shall talk to you next week.